Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Morning again. Glad that you are able to join us this morning. If you are joining us for the very first time, we're glad you're able to join us. I just want to acknowledge the presence of my sister, my younger sister, who just joining me here in Yellowknife. After many years of trying to convince her, like, we've got great snow in Yellowknife, it finally worked. It's only 8 months, you know, of snow, so she's here with us. Yeah, only 8 months, so thank you. As you can tell, I'm a very good advocate for Yellowknife. Yeah, this morning, we're going to continue the series on worship. Basically, it's a mini-series. You've listened to George started off laying the foundation, and then Pastor Mel picked up from there. So this morning, you'd hear quite a little bit of repetition from the previous sessions, November 12th and November 19th, George and Mel. You're going to hear a lot of repetition, partly because, you know, they did so much great work. Josh spent hours and hours preparing for this. So it's not fair that I don't do justice to, you know, his work. I have to reference his work and made me not do any work. So thank you, Josh, for that. So most of it, I'll just be regurgitating his message because I was being lazy to prepare. But hopefully, and as Pastor Mel told me, oh, repetition is very good. So I was like, okay, then that's good. We are going to do just that. So we are on worship and the final series. Not the final series, like end of worship, but, you know, in our mini series, because worship is continuous. On November 12th, George tried to answer the question, what is worship? And just to recap, Christian worship is an engagement with God where by grace we participate in the incarnate Son's communion with the Father through the Spirit, self-offering of our mind, body, spirit in response to the one true offering made for us in Christ. It is an engagement on his terms in a way only possible through Jesus. One of the teaching we got was Jesus Christ was the center of our worship, ought to be the center our worship. When we worship with one audience in mind, our God. Worship is an expression of submission to God with Jesus at the center. Worship is not limited to songs, but involves our entire life. It's a lifestyle. What we do away from Sunday. You know, we've custom to call the Sunday service a worship service. But that's not what worship is all about. Worship is an expression, a response to the grace of God. That expression of the greatness of God, that expression of the love of God, the expression of the sacrifice which Christ gave at the cross of Calvary. You see, you probably have seen some advertisement of services, like maybe big crusades or conferences, and I've seen some. And you see, they'll say, they list a bunch of number of speakers, and then they'll say, entertainment by. Right? Entertainment by, or music by. So we've reduced worship to entertainment. Sometimes we come to church expecting that the praise team is going to entertain us, that we are going to be entertained. And when they don't sing songs that emotionally lift us, we say the service was quite boring because we have reduced it to an entertainment, which it's not about that. We cannot reduce worship to simply entertainment. That's why not all songs are an act of worship. I think Josh emphasized that last time he laid the foundation. Not all songs are an act of worship. So instead of us listening to the songs that, you know, maybe they've got a very high, upbeat that really elicits a lot of emotional response, maybe we should listen in the theology of the songs. That's why hymns were very great, because they focus on the theology and the centeredness of God, the essence of which we were created, because we were created for worship. Now, imagine if we were created for worship, and then we reserve one day, 1 hour on a particular day, Sunday, to say that's the only day we're going to worship God. Is that really why we're created? Now imagine that. God spent time and created you and said, no, wait, you're only going to worship me for 30 minutes on Sunday. That's not the essence on which we were created. That's why when we say, you know, worship involves much more, involves our lifestyle, involves that submission beyond the church service, beyond the singing and clapping in church. See, in the old temple, in the Old Testament rather, in the old time, the temple was central to worship. The temple or places were central to worship. And this is well exemplified when Jesus Christ was talking to the woman at the well. Most of you know the story when Jesus encountered this lady and he revealed, you know, the many husbands she had. And she told him, you know, our ancestors worshipped on top of that mountain, and you Jews said we should worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ responded to her that the time is coming when true worshipers shall worship him in truth and spirit. By that, Jesus Christ really eliminated the confinement of worship to a particular place, to a particular temple. He broke the veil where it opened up, where we can be ushered in the presence of God and worship him in truth and spirit. Because when she asked him, where shall we worship? Jesus Christ did not respond with a particular place, a particular location. He said, shall worship him in truth and spirit. So anywhere you are. Now, if you are anywhere we're supposed to worship, what does that entail? That really encompasses our lifestyle. Encompasses what we are doing. Worship, again, is an engagement on God's term made possible only through Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. It tells us we worship the Trinity, triune God, Father, one Spirit, created through everything. Worship what was at the core center of why we were created. We are created to be worshipers, to be in communion with him. We worship God for who he is and what he has done for us. We worship God for who he is. And who is God? I mean, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the creator. He is the one that sustains the universe with no pillars. He holds the earth in his hand. He's the one that knows you by name. He knows the number of hair on your head. That is a great God. He is worthy of our worship. The Bible gives us one of the commandments. It says, love God your God and worship him and him alone. Worship him alone. No, Jesus allowed worship to be directed at him because he was God incarnate. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He came down and took his place. That's why he never counted it robbery when we worshipped him. Jesus Christ never stopped anyone from worshiping because he was the essence and the way in which we get to the Father. You know, the Bible is full of examples of Jesus being worshipped right from the time of his birth. You know, I think Josh gave an example at the beginning how these men came to celebrate him. And this, I mean, he became a multimillionaire if you were going to compare him to our current situation. The amount of gifts that they brought to him in worship. Those mega, they were rich. They were mega, mega rich. Their convoy was way longer than we can imagine. Now imagine the amount of gifts they brought to him. And Jesus Christ never complained about that because he is worthy of our worship. Because he is worthy of our worship. You know, the following dictionary of worship was provided to us: to honor or show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. That is worship. Now, when we come, we gather together. Remember, the Bible is also clear: do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. That's very important for us to gather together here. It's very important for us to worship together. But that's not where we are limited to. We have to honor. If we are going to follow that definition, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion, I believe it transcends the four corners of these walls. I believe it involves our lifestyles at workplaces, maybe in school. Are we worshiping God in what we do? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's who we worship. That's why Jesus Christ is supposed to be the center of our worship. It's supposed to be the core, the reason of our existence. It's supposed to be where worship begins and it ends. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for the God of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. That's First Chronicles. He reigns. You see, when we're talking about the Old Testament, you know, worship involved some form of animal sacrifice. You had to shed blood to worship. We've got many examples of such. The famous one that everyone knows is, you know, with Abraham when he was asked to sacrifice his only son. As an example of obedience, we had to sacrifice human blood. But Jesus Christ, thankfully, came. Because I don't think some of us are not very good hunters. Thank God for independence and co-op. Because we will starve, right? But it involved some animal sacrifice. But Jesus Christ presented himself as that sacrifice. He shed that blood. That's why every worship must be centered upon Jesus Christ. Every worship. Our lifestyle must reflect our commitment to Christ. You know, as Pastor Mel said, in Vineyard, we believe most Christian denominations have something of God in them and about them. However, there are some things that we consider to be part of the Vineyard DNA. One such fundamental is everyone gets to play. In Vineyard, we believe everyone gets to play. Thomas Creed puts it this way: this sense of freedom coupled with William's concept of play and spiritual formation, meshes easily with the value of play in the context of empowering everyone to contribute to the life of the church and the expression of the mission of the kingdom of God in an inclusive and direct way. As a form of worship, everyone gets to play. Everyone has giftings. We believe that. And those giftings can be used to contribute to the local church, to the community of believers. This forms one of the fundamental vineyard principle. Everyone should be empowered to contribute their gifts to the life of the kingdom, but not everyone that is part of the community of faith, wherever and however they may have entered, can ultimately or finally be recognized as a leader. So that's a little bit of a distinction. Everybody is welcome, but there's a distinction in who we identify as leader. Doesn't mean that you cannot participate and use your giftings for the advancement of the kingdom. But we do, there's a recognition that everyone has a significant contribution to be made. Doesn't mean there are not shortfalls. Of course, there are shortfalls. But at the center of it is we recognize that you come to God as you are. You worship God as you are. And through the Spirit, the working of the Spirit, then that transformation takes place. We don't transform people, the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does the work. How do we worship? As is our lifestyle a demonstration of that worship? Is our lifestyle at work showing that we are worshipers? Not in a judgmental way, of course. You know, we're not saying, like, you know some of those very Christian people that they speak Christianese. You know, when you ask them, how are you doing? Oh, by the grace of God. I didn't ask you what the grace of God. I'm asking, how are you doing? You know, so why can't you just answer that? So we're not talking about being Christian and being Christianese and speaking Christianese, you know, calling everybody your brother and sister when they don't understand what you mean. Although, of course, we are. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes we scare people away because we try to be so Christianese in our speaking. Can we just be normal? Interact with the people and let the fruits of the Spirit be self-manifesting. Because when you worship, when you're a worshiper, I think Josh said it's very hard to sin when you worship because people are going to ask you, there's something different about you. What is that? And then you get an opportunity to be able to minister. How come when we get bad news, you're still so calm? And you still exude that confidence because you are a true worshiper. I'm not saying you're not going to be stressed. Obviously, because we live in the world that is full of stress and we deal with so many stimuli that stress that on a daily basis. But how do we respond to them? As a true worshiper, there's that little bit of a difference, how we handle that situation. And people are going to be attracted to that, and they'll ask you, what is different about you? And then you get an opportunity to minister. Not going around and scaring people by your Christianese, but by how you live, the examples we set, how we react to situations. That is the essence of who we are as worshipers. We have the freedom to worship. You know, at Vineyard, we choose intentionally to surrender to Jesus Christ through water baptism. Again, to encourage you, if you have not been baptized, please do so. We encourage participation in the worship life of the community. We are not here to be entertained, and the praise and worship is there to help set the atmosphere, help leading us with one audience in mind, and that is our God. And when we are talking about what we are not minimizing what the praise and worship does, because they have a place, they have the giftings, that's a form of worship, and they help us to lead us. So when you come into service, don't come and say, well, I didn't like the way that guitar sounded. I didn't like that voice. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're coming to be entertained. We encourage all spiritual disciplines such as confessions, prayer, service, submission, and fasting. We nurture a network of leadership to promote spiritual growth through the various activities, including small groups. We encourage commitment to some form of ministry. Bring whatever is in your hands to participate. Whatever it is, you can contribute. It could be as simple as maybe cleaning the church, working with the children ministry, maybe serving in the hospitality team, ushering people. Those are some of the ministries you can participate in to worship. It's not an exclusive club. Everybody gets to play. We encourage generous giving. You know, the gospel is very free, but we pay rent. There's utilities. Those cost money. And last time I checked, manna stopped falling from heaven. So we encourage people to give. And give generously. No, give generously so we can carry on the great work of God. We learn to make worship choices informed by our faith. These are what we believe in at Vineyard. As we have said over and over, it doesn't mean like we have it all. It doesn't mean like we've, you know, discovered we are the best since the invention of sliced bread. No, this is how we worship. This is the tribe we belong to. In recognition that every other denomination has something of God about them and in them. Amen. I'm going to invite the praise and worship team. I decided to close now because you guys seems like you were very attentive, you were very cooperative, you took part. So I am going to go against Pastor Mel's advice of taking my time and let you out in the snow a little bit earlier. We're going to worship and then we close the service. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.